Okay, we're back. We're in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, and Yahshua here is dealing with his disciples, and he says to them, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you?" And he says to the man, "Bring thy son hither." He's fairly upset with his disciples, you can tell. You can see, you can imagine how their countenance falls there at his word. And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down, and now talking about the man's son, and tore him. And Yahshua rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one at all things which Jesus did, he said to his disciples, "Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men." But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them which of them should be the greatest. And Yahshua, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him. And he said to them, "Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great." And John answered and said, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followed not with us." And Jesus said to him, "Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us." And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and set messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And when they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And then his disciples, James and John, saw this. They said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did?" But he turned and rebuked them, "You know not what manner of spirit you are. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save." And they went to another village, and it came to pass, as they went out in the way, a certain man said unto him, "Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And it came to pass, as they were in the way, a certain man said unto him, "I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And Jesus said unto him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And he said unto another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Now this seems like a pretty harsh statement. Is the man really saying, let me go and bury my father? Or is he saying, "Let me go and stay at my house until my father dies"? I don't know. But either way, it seems a fairly harsh response to this man who says, "Suffer me to go bury my father." And Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." And another one said to him, "I will follow you, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home and at my house." And Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Again, seeming fairly harsh, but what is the teacher here? The rabbi, which means teacher, what is he doing? Well, he's using this occasion to draw an illustration, because certainly, we have the example, say, of Levi or Matthew, who drops everything. But then we see in the verses following, they end up having a dinner at Matthew's house. So perhaps these men were reserving something in their mind, or perhaps they were looking for an excuse, maybe subconsciously, that they would go back home and forget about following him. So I think that's what's really is going on here, is that many people will make up their mind to go do something, perhaps follow the Messiah, but then they'll go get busy. You know, they'll go get, as we read about the parable of the sower last time, the cares of this world, the riches of this life, and, you know, the things of this world, it's easy to get tangled up in what you've always been tangled up in. Perhaps these men would go home. This man would go home to bury his father. And, you know, how long does that take? You know, perhaps he's on his deathbed. I don't know what the circumstance was. We don't get that. Perhaps he had been ill for a year. And, you know, perhaps he might not die for another year. So what's going on there? But he says, let the dead bury the dead. Now that seems pretty harsh. But what is that all about? Well, he's equating following him with entering into life. And those that you leave behind are dead because they have not entered into life. So I think the illustration here, the extreme illustration, perhaps, some may think it extreme. When I read this, sometimes, if you know, you read it in the King James English version here. We weren't there firsthand. There may have been a little more dialogue going on. And certainly there are things behind the scenes and details that we just do not get. But what do we get? Well, we get the idea that to follow the Messiah is to enter into life. And what you're leaving behind is death. And let the dead bury the dead. Well, let the things that you left behind, they will take care of themselves. Don't worry about them. Because looking back, you'll just become tangled up in them again. That is what will most likely happen. Like I said, we have the parable to the sower to show us that. And the truth is that probably, you know, I would say that a majority of the people in the land where I live, called America, have at some time in their life made a commitment to Jesus, to the Lord. They went into a church, or perhaps they were sitting at home one day, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it was just the time for their conviction, the time for them to hear the message. Because, you know what? Many are called. And, you know, who are the many who are called? If let's say many are called, that means that some people are not called. That does make sense, doesn't it? The scripture says many are called, but few are chosen. And that means that some people are not called. Like, who is not called? Well, you know what? Infants aren't called. How about incompetents aren't called? You know, retarded people. Well, perhaps they may be called, depending on the level of their, you know, their cognizance, their accountability. And they may or may not be called. Many are called. And I would say that the many that are called is just about everyone who can reach an age of accountability and can be accountable. Sometime in their life, the Holy Spirit calls them. And it may be that they click the channel on the TV and start hearing some scripture or some preaching. And it doesn't matter what face it's coming out of. It's the Word of God coming to them. And their heart is convicted. And they just may run over there and turn it off and not want to hear it and go back and or change the channel to some idolatry. And they've made their decision. They refuse the call. And so they're not chosen because they refuse to answer the call. And that I would say probably most people on planet Earth will fit into that type of category, more than half. And then of course you have all the degrees as portrayed in the parable of the sower, of people who were glad and they heard it, and oh boy, I get to go to heaven when I die. But, you know, nothing really changed in their life. Or perhaps they had a few days worth of repentance or something, but then they just got carried away into the cares of this life and the things of this world and the things that they used to do and the things of their family. And, you know, so had to go back and bury their father, and then that just led back to their old life. So basically, I believe that's what the Messiah is here saying, hey, and he says it plainly, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom, because you cannot plow a straight row when you're looking back. And if you've ever plowed or plotted a line or anything, or tried to go in a straight line, you have to fix your eye on something way off in the distance to make a straight line when you're plowing. So that's what he's saying. If you look back, well, looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And, you know, this sounds a little harsher than it is, because the kingdom of God is not you get to go to heaven when you die. It's entering into life now. That's the idea. You enter into life now, and everyone you leave behind is dead. And your whole life is dead, and the dead will take care of the dead. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the things you're leaving behind when you enter into his kingdom. We're in chapter 10 and verse 1 of Luke. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. So he has his 12 disciples. He gets another 70. I don't know, perhaps it was just the 12. I do believe we read at one time that he took the 12 with them. But he appoints another 70 disciples. How about that? So now you've got, you know, 70. And whoever he had before, he appointed another 70 plus the 12. So, you know, we got a fairly big movement. These are just people that are appointed leaders in this new sect that has arisen in Jerusalem, and really not a new one, but it's the old one. This is what they were looking for since the beginning. This is what was foretold. This is what the faithful were looking for. So he appoints another 70 and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and every place whither he himself would come. So he sends them out before them. And of course, they're just two, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, because this is still the 70th week. Therefore, he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. So he's saying, you go to this city, you go to that city, don't talk to anybody by the way, don't stop. You go there and you prepare the way for my coming to that city. And he says, don't take any purse. You know, and this is, he's not talking to us. A lot of people, they read the Gospels and they want to personalize everything that Yahshua said as if he's talking to them. Well, no, you have to take everything in context. He is not talking to us. He is ministering in the 70th week of Israel from Daniel's prophecy, the 70th and final week for national Israel. So 70 weeks are determined to thy people, Israel. And so this is for them in Israel, okay, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he says, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Now, granted, the Heavenly Father has throughout history sent people out in the same manner, but that's his special dispensation and personal individual commandment to certain people. This is not a blanket commission to everyone. Not everyone is being sent like this, and he's not speaking this to everyone. But he can do with anyone what he wants. He may send someone with a sword someplace at some time. And again, he may send someone else as forth as a lamb among wolves also at any time he chooses. So he says to them, under this circumstance, neither carry purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall turn to you again, and in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. So, don't be like Jehovah's Witnesses, he's saying. Just kidding. Of course. He said, don't go from house to house. And when the church meant from house to house, they didn't go just from any house to any house. They went from house to house of believers. So, what he's saying is you go into a town and, whoever receives you there, these are the people that you're to fellowship, and that becomes the place, from which we will minister in that town. Basically, that becomes like our headquarters. Don't go from house to house. You just go to one house and, then you minister from that house. So he says, go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And a lot of people say, well, here, see, I can eat anything I want. Well, not so. Because, you know, you saw what Yahshua did in Israel, to the swineherders. He ran their herds into the, he cast the demons into them and ran them into the lake, and they all drowned. And plus, they're not going outside of Israel here. Nobody's setting pork before them. They're to eat whatever's set before them. And not, basically, they're not to bring food with them or carry a purse. And that, in context, that's what it's about, is to not worry about provision, but allow the people in that town, in that city, where you're ministering to provide for you. This has nothing to do with dietary law. So we don't want to take it out of context and use it as a license to break God's law. And if you do that, you may not lose your salvation, but you certainly may suffer the consequences for your disobedience. And that evidence is all around us for people who do not regard the dietary laws and the commandments of the dietary laws for their own good, and they suffer in their flesh. And then have to turn to the gods of this world and the witch doctors and the corporations and pharmakia, for forgiveness in their flesh. So it says, whatsoever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So, or the kingdom of God is at hand. That's the message. And the message they're preaching, listen to the message. You can go through all the gospels and you'll find the message is the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. And that's why I preach that message today. And that's why my website is called Cross the Border, because I bid people to cross the border into the kingdom of heaven and live forever and endure in his kingdom. Because he who endures to the end shall be saved. You're going to hear that a lot from me if you haven't figured that out yet. Because I want you to stay in his kingdom. I want you to be, to live a life that's pleasing to the king. Because his kingdom has laws and he's looking for people that desire to do those things that please him. And those are the ones that are in his kingdom. Because if you hate God's law, then truly you hate God. And if you don't want to live a life that's pleasing to him, then what are you going to do in his kingdom? And what are you going to do in his kingdom forever? There's not going to be any lawlessness in his kingdom in the resurrection. You know, this is your chance now to allow the Holy Spirit to teach you righteousness. To have his law written on your heart, this is your opportunity to enter into his kingdom. Take it. You will not get another opportunity. When your mortality comes to the end, your opportunity is over with. Don't count on purgatory and how much money your relatives, your living relatives, can give to those fakers out there, to those who say they are the people of God but are not. Yeah, so don't count on that. Your opportunity will be done and over with. Let's continue here. Chapter 10 and verse 11. Okay, verse 10. But unto the whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to thee, Chorazin. And what is Chorazin? It's a place in Palestine. And I guess it's a place where he was not accepted. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despiseth you, despiseth me. He's speaking to the 70 that he's sending out, the additional 70 that he's sending out in pairs. He that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despiseth you, despiseth me, and he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said to them, behold, Satan is as lightning fall from heaven. Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So this is something that Yahshua is saying he saw. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, we're going into a break, and this is a good place to pick up when we get back. You're listening to Cross the Border? I would like to hear from you. You'll find an email link on my website, crosstheborder.org. We'll be back. Stay tuned for the news.